Ready? 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, ready, and.
Sing to the King who is coming to reign. Glory to Jesus, the Lamb that was slain. Life and salvation His empire shall bring, and joy to the nations when Jesus was King. A song declaring we belong to Jesus. He's all we need. Lift up a heart of praise. Sing now with voices raised to Jesus. Sing to the King. A song declaring we belong to Jesus. He is all we need. Lift up a heart of praise. Sing now with voices raised to Jesus. Sing to the King. A song declaring we belong to Jesus. He's all we need. Lift up a heart of praise. Sing now with voices raised to Jesus. Sing to the King. Sing to the King.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. It's good to see everyone here. Thank you for coming and joining us today. We are glad to be able to gather in the house of the Lord and celebrate His Spirit, and I thank you for being here. This is your first time here. There should be a connect card in the pew rack in front of you. If you'll take that and fill it out and drop it in the offering plate, we'll try to be in touch with you this week. If you have prayer requests, put them on that same card and let us know. We'll try to respond to that. If you're joining us via live stream, welcome. We are glad that you are here as well. You should see an address on your screen. If you will write us and let us know that you've been here or of your prayer needs, we will be in touch with you and try to make sure that your prayer needs are covered just like everyone else's. But we're glad you are joining us via live stream as well. This day is a day that our God has given us, and it's a day to celebrate. Tabby, you have a couple of things that you want to bring us celebration.
I have some exciting things. David, could you put up that precious picture I have? I think. Yes. Oh, my goodness. Please join me in welcoming little Collins Lane Glosh to our BBC family. Can you clap for that? Because that's just precious. Yes. Kevin and Amber welcomed little Collins Lane on June 27th in the evening and brought her home to the siblings there, Kinley, Levi, and Carson. And my understanding is they're just all smitten. And obviously, grandparents Steve and Tish are over the moon. So if you see them, give them a congratulations, because we are just super excited about this precious new addition to our church family. And then I have one more. There we go. So coming up here quick, August 7th through the 10th, from 6 to 7:30 in the evening here at the church, we are hosting Kids Turn, which is an awesome, exciting, energetic VBS program. We are really excited about that. So if you know kids, kindergarten through fifth grade, or preschoolers that want to come with a parent, we would love to have them register for that. There are flyers out in the entryway. They're going to be there when you walk out that way. Please take them and give them to neighbors or friends. Right on them, you'll find a QR code that you can scan with your phone, and it'll take you right to our registration. So we would love to have just this room absolutely full of kids who are excited and just an opportunity to tell the kids of our community that Jesus loves them and that he has a great plan for their life, and give them some direction for how to live that way. So thank you very much. And I think, are kiddos coming? Okay, kiddos, come on up. Pastor Todd's got something awesome.
Come on. Come on up. Thank you, Zach.
Oops.
How you doing, Andy? Come on, come on, come on. Come on, we got plenty of room up here. This is on, but I don't think you can hear me. Am I on now?
I don't think you're on, but I still can't hear you.
The light, oh, there it is. There it is.
Now you're
come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Good morning.
Good morning.
How's everybody doing?
Good.
This is my favorite part. I get to see you.
Yeah.
I love you. You know that? Hey, now that you're all comfortable, would you get up and take a walk with me?
What?
What? Yeah, but now this is what I want you to do. Like, grab a buddy, grab a hand, and we're going to go two by two. I got something to show you, okay? So everybody get up and grab a hand. And Abby, I'm going to get one of our college kids. You kind of lead up the back, okay? So yeah, you got a buddy, grab a hand. Okay, come on. Come on. It's just gonna, yeah, just two by two, we're gonna come down and come on. And then Miss Abby's gonna come right behind you and just follow me, just follow me. There we go. Isn't this fun, guys? Yeah, you having fun yet? Yeah, greet your people. These are your people, this is your family. Say hey, and if you see mom and dad, you can give them a little kiss or something. Just blow it there. Just follow me. Is everybody following me? Yep. Abby's coming. She gets to be a kid. Daddy's coming. Thank you. Do you know where we're going yet?
Back.
You think we're going back? Back where?
Back up there.
Back up there where we came from. You think so? Well, you're doing a good job of following me. Just keep following me.
Yeah.
Yep. Anybody play? Yeah, you can. You play half, okay. I play about a quarter. Okay. Well, let's stop right here. Let's stop right here. Yeah, you can scoot from either side of the table. Look at this table. What do you think that's about?
Bread.
Hmm?
Bread.
Bread and what?
Grapes.
Grapes.
Grapes. What do you think this is about today? Wine might go in that cup. Does anybody know what this table's about? What, Ayla?
The Last Supper.
It is about the Last Supper. Whose Last Supper?
Jesus'
Last Supper. Oh, boys and girls, I'm telling you what. Why did we go down the aisle and around just to get back to this table? I'm glad you asked. Everybody take a seat again.
I didn't ask.
Oh, well, I heard you ask. I felt like you asked me. Okay.
One thing for sure.
I just kind of felt like somebody was asking. Boys and girls. Okay, I've got one question for you, first of all. You listening? Everybody listen. Why did you guys follow me when I got up and said follow me?
I don't know.
Why?
Because you follow Jesus.
But I'm not Jesus, right?
Because you told us to.
Because you told us to. Well, but I mean,
I'm not telling a reason.
You don't do everything people tell you to do, do you?
Nope.
No.
No? No?
Well, sometimes.
Sometimes. Why did you follow me? So easy. Everybody. Do you know me?
Because you're
nice.
No.
Hmm?
Because
I'm nice. Because you do know me.
No, I don't.
Because did you trust me a little bit? You didn't know where we were going, but you trusted me a little bit. Where did you think we were going when we were walking down the aisle?
Somewhere else.
Somewhere else.
To the north door.
To the north door. You thought we were going to the north door. Boys and girls, you know what? There's this story about Jesus, and you knew that's where we were going. Exactly. Right, Lizzie. I'm glad. And you were a good follower this morning. Jesus, when he started his ministry on earth, he...
Oh, my God.
You okay, buddy? Scoot up here. Scoot up here, Ezekiel. Scoot up here. Yeah, you didn't fall in the hole. I have fallen in that hole before. Just about did. So scoot a little bit closer up here with your sister, and there we go. Okay. Whoo, thank you, Lord. Jesus saw his friends doing what they did day in, day out. They were fishing. And he stopped and he said, hey, follow me. Follow me. And you know what the Bible tells us that they did?
They followed him.
Landon, what did they do?
They followed him.
Why did they follow him? Because he said, follow me, right? And he was nice, and they knew just enough about Jesus that they wanted to follow Jesus. And boys and girls, do you know what they took with them? Pretty much nothing. They dropped everything, the Bible says, to follow Jesus. Did they know where they were going?
No.
No? But Jesus did.
They did a loop.
They did a loop, like we did a loop. I knew where we were going this morning and knew just enough. You knew just enough to trust me, and I thank you for trusting me with that. And we landed at the table, and Ayla told us it's about the Last Supper. Listen, boys and girls, Jesus said to his friends then, and he says to his friends now, hey, follow me, Evan, follow me. And because we know enough about Jesus to know that he's got our best interest in mind, what should we do when Jesus says, follow me? Get up and follow him and trust him. And if you're like me, well, Jesus, where are we going? Jesus, what have you got planned? Todd, don't worry about it. I'm in charge. But Jesus, have you ever said, but Jesus, I want to know. Jesus knows where he's going. He knows where you're going. Let's follow him. The Last Supper that Jesus had with his friends before he died and came back to life on Easter morning. It's what we're remembering today. And you know what Jesus told them in that supper? He said, I want you to remember me. Are you listening? I want you to remember me. I want you to remember how I've loved you. And then you know what I want you to do? I want you to love each other the same way I've loved you. Do you have people you love? Raise your hand if you have people you love. Have they loved you too? I bet you love them because they loved you first, right? Boys and girls, if we trust Jesus, we can follow him. No matter where, no matter how far, maybe we'll loop, maybe it'll be a straight line, maybe it'll be a little bit like this, maybe it'll be uphill, maybe it'll be down. Trust him, just like you did old Todd, and I'm just Todd, right?
No.
Boys and girls, let's thank God for his love. Father in heaven, thank you so much that we can trust you. Thank you that you've shown us who you are and why we can trust you, that you love us no matter what. You know where you're going and you know where you want to take us. God, we have questions, and thank you for loving us with our questions, but help us to take a break from the questions now and then and just say, Jesus, wherever you're going, that's where I want to go. Thank you for these boys and girls. Thank you for the table in front and behind us. Thank you for what it means that you loved us enough to sit down at the table with us and eat and share your heart with us in such a way that it would change us forever. God, please help these boys and girls to remember, as surely as you want us grown-ups to remember, that we've got to do one thing. If we're going to follow you, there's one thing we got to do. That's love you and love each other. Help us to do that better and better, no matter where it takes us. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you. Now you're going upstairs, I think. Don't loop again. Don't loop. Remember Jesus.
Everything's too long. praise you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of the marvelous things you have done. Let's stand and sing together.
All right.
Every praise is to our God, every word of worship with one accord. Every praise is to our God. Sing hallelujah to our God, glory hallelujah is to our God. Every praise is to our God.
Graduations in my family, and that got me to thinking about what do I know now that I would have liked to have known when I was 18 or when I was 22. And there is one thing that I think would have made my life a lot more joyful had I understood it sooner. And that is grace. See, I was saved. I gave my life to Jesus when I was 9 years old. But I spent most of my growing up years really focused on all the things I wasn't doing right. I was afraid if I didn't pray often enough or read my Bible enough or go to church often enough or if my sassy mouth got me in trouble too many times, that God was going to decide he didn't love me anymore. And it really wasn't until my late 20s that I really started to understand grace. God doesn't love me because of what I do, and he doesn't stop loving me because of what I don't do. God loves me because of grace. And he doesn't see all the imperfections that I focus on all the time when he looks at me. He sees me covered in grace. And he loves me, and that will never change. That is a joyful life.
Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. All my life your love has blessed me, you have brought me to this place, and I know your hand will lead me safely home by thy good grace. Lord, you sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God, there to rescue me from danger, bought me with your precious blood. Sing praise.
And now I am happy all the day.
Amen, amen, amen. We again welcome you at home and remind you that we are together by the Spirit of the living God, so that distance does not even separate us. Isn't that wonderful? We're thankful for technology, but even more thankful for the Holy Spirit of God who unites us. Let's keep that in mind now as we pause, as we shut our eyes, shutting out distractions. And if you're like me, there are always distractions in your mind, right? Thoughts and noises and conversations. Take a deep breath and let's release all of that. Let's just release our thoughts and our emotions and trust God with them. Help us. Help us, Father God. We're so busy. Even when we're sitting still, we're busy. How joyful it is to be busy in worship, to sing and to move as we sing and to let the words and notes move us. Thank you for music. Help us this morning, Lord God, to be like these little children who just trust. They trust. Help us to hear you this morning say, get up, follow me. It's our grown-up tendency to ask all kinds of questions. Where are we going? What's this about? How long am I going to be gone? What do I need to bring with me? God, in this season of vacation, we're all about packing and unpacking. And then we always forget something. We land at the local supermarket. God, you have thought of everything. You have forgotten nothing. Help us to trust you with this journey and help us to not worry about where it's taken us. And if we feel like we've looped, help us to remember that you keep bringing us back to the table. God, bring us back to the table, not just this morning, in the structure and formality of communion, but when we leave this place, God, help us to trust you, to follow you, to find ourselves always brought back to your table of love. And then, God, please let it change us this morning. And may we remember how you tried to simplify it for us all by giving us one command. As I've loved you, love each other. God, forgive us for when we've gotten it wrong and help us get it right. And thank you, as Kimberly said, for that grace. Oh, God. May we receive, may we believe, and then may we give it away as we leave this place today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Our scripture lesson today comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 11. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Let's pray together. God, help us to be willing to open our minds and our hearts to you today so that we might find the wonder of your gift of grace and joy, that we might experience something of you that we have never experienced before. Help us to know you in ways we may never have known you. For it's in your name we offer a prayer. Amen. It was good to see Ricky Castle and his family here today. It was always good to have. Ricky was in the church when I came here, and I thought he was going to be here when I left. Undergraduate school when he came. Now he is a noted professor at East Carolina University, and we are glad to have you back with your family. It was good to see you up here with your child today. So, anybody else want to be welcome today? I'll be glad to do that. So, when Susan and I lived in North Carolina, I had a friend who lived down there who owned a business. He was a great guy, but he was one of those individuals who had some struggles in his life. One of the biggest struggles that he had was his mother. His mother was an individual who was, as he put it, 10 of the grouchiest people he'd ever met in his life. I had met his mother. He wasn't lying. She was 10 of the grouchiest people you would ever want to meet. She was one of those individuals who could have found something wrong with resurrection morning. It just seemed to be that way in her life. Nothing ever seemed to make her happy. Billy was like me. He was an only child. He had a great relationship with his dad, but unlike me, he had a terrible relationship with his mother because everybody had a terrible relationship with his mother. Anyway, back in the 1980s, Billy's mother was going to turn 75 years old, so Billy's dad decided that he wanted to do something special for her for that occasion. The car she had been driving was a very old car, and it was really giving trouble, and so Billy's dad decided that he was going to surprise her with a new car. Billy's mother had always said that her favorite color was blue, so he went and he bought a nice blue car, and he put a big bow on it, and then they got together with the family, and they had cake and ice cream, and then they told her to close her eyes, and everybody led her outside, and they all yelled surprise, and sure enough, there was her car with a big bow on it that said, "Happy birthday, Helen." Billy's mom looked at it and then she shrugged and she looked at her husband and said, "It's blue. Sherman, you know I don't like blue." Billy said his dad looked at his wife and then he turned around and he looked at Billy and then he looked back at Helen and then he said, "Well, given that you're lazy and that you've got arthritis in both knees, I'd say that blue's better than walking, so just suck it up and make it work." Then he turned around and he just walked off. I don't know if any of you have ever known any. Spirit of the Lord seems to be speaking right now. I don't know if any of you have ever had a moment like that. I don't know if you've ever known anybody like that in your life. But some things are just that way. Some people just cannot be happy. Some people just cannot seem to find a way to celebrate the blessings in their lives. They can't see the party because they simply won't see the party. It's like they refuse to understand that life is a gift from God and it's a gift that's supposed to be enjoyed. I've had a lot of life-changing experiences in my life. One of those came to me when I was in seminary. I was in a philosophy of religion class, which happened to be my favorite class in seminary. We were talking about the purpose of life. During the course of that discussion, the professor started quoting from the Westminster Shorter Catechism. The first question of that catechism is, what is the chief end of man? And the answer is, the chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Why was that a life-changing experience for me? Well, let me tell you another story. Back maybe 15 years ago, I had someone come to my office who had just finished reading the book, The Purpose-Driven Life. I thought he was coming to talk about the book, but he wasn't. When he got there, he said, "I've just finished reading this entire book. I know it's a best-selling book, but I still don't know what my purpose in life is." When he did, I said, "Well, I may not be able to answer everything for you, but I can answer this. Your purpose in life is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. I said, it doesn't matter what you do for a living. It doesn't matter if you're a janitor or a professor. Your purpose in life is exactly the same. Your job is to lift God up with your life and to enjoy having God in your life. In other words, when God made us, He made us for joy. He wanted us to be able to enjoy life by enjoying Him and enjoying serving Him in the world. So, how do we do that? Well, I think we do that by investing our lives for God. Our job is to form a relationship with God, and then we're to become agents of joy in the world. In fact, I think that's what Jesus meant when He said, I have said these things to you that my joy might be in you and that your joy might be complete. That's where the word enjoy comes from. It means to be filled with joy, which is wonderful. But how many people actually know that? I know a lot of people who believe in God. They sincerely believe that there's a God in this world, but do they know that it's God's will for their lives to be filled with joy? I've said before, there's a big difference in joy and happiness. Happiness is circumstantial. Joy is something very different. The church is called to be the kingdom of God on earth, and God's earth is supposed to be a celebration. It's supposed to be joyful. Lots of things happen to keep that from occurring. Some of them are our decisions that get us off track. Some of them are the decisions of others that hurt the world around us. Sometimes it's just the things that come to us in life that tend to wound. And when it does, it can rob us of our happiness. But it really can't rob us of the gift of joy. Let me go a little further with this. 2 weeks ago, I preached on John 2, 1 through 12. It's the story of Jesus turning water into wine at the wedding at Cana. When you read this story, what you're actually seeing is the kingdom of God coming to life. It's what the kingdom of God on earth is supposed to be. You're seeing the end of the old covenant, the beginning of the new covenant. John the Baptist was the last prophet of the old covenant, and he did the job that God assigned to him very well. He paved the way for the Messiah. He got people ready for Jesus, but John was the last prophet of the old age, which meant John wouldn't have been caught dead at a wedding party because good religious people weren't supposed to go to wedding parties. Life was too serious for that. You were supposed to be serious about life and taking care of business. But then all of a sudden Jesus shows up. And John was just as mystified by Jesus as everybody else was. In fact, when John was arrested and put in jail, he sent his disciples to Jesus to ask a question that was bothering him. The question was, are you really the one, or should we be looking for another? John was mystified because the way Jesus was living and the things he was doing, it was completely out of track with what John had expected from a Messiah. And yet, Jesus was doing all of these things. Jesus responded by telling the disciples, go back and tell John what you're seeing. The blind see, the lame walk, all of the things that he had hoped for, but it was different. And John wasn't really sure what to do with different. Why? Because Jesus came to the world. He went to wedding parties. He had fun. And that was just off track for John. Jesus went to the wedding at Cana. He was celebrating with everyone that was there. Suddenly his mother showed up and said, they are out of wine. And so Jesus tells the servants to go fill 6 big, basically wash pots and bring them back with water. And then he performs a miracle and he sends the water to the host. And the host tastes it, and it is not only wine, but it is the best wine that he has had. Why did Jesus do that? I've heard a lot of preachers give very lofty explanations for this miracle. The truth is, there were 3 very simple reasons for this. The first one was, he wanted to make sure the world knew that 2 young, common Jewish kids were important to God. You didn't have to be somebody like a king. Just 2 common kids at a wedding were important enough for God to step into their lives. He wanted everybody there to know that 1 wedding in a small town in Israel was worth God's attention. It didn't need to be something huge and big. That 1 little wedding was worth God being involved in. And Jesus wanted everybody to understand without any question that the kingdom of God is supposed to be a grand celebration of joy. John 10:10, Jesus said, "I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly." The Greek word that Jesus used for life here is actually a word that means joy. In fact, my New Testament professor in seminary took it a step further than that. He said the derivative of this Greek word that Jesus used actually means effervescent joy or bubbling joy. In other words, what Jesus is saying is, "I have come that you might have life, and that life in me would be an overabundance of bubbling joy." Folks, there's a reason why Jesus called the gospel the good news. God came to earth in the form of Jesus, and he said, "I have come that my joy might be in you and that your joy might be complete." How does any news get better than God's effervescent joy? That's the best news that anybody will ever get to hear, yet I personally know people who think that it's anything in this world but joyful when they go to church. They think that faith is anything in the world but joyful. And some people are absolutely terrified of God. Psalm 139:7-8, David said, "Where can I go to get away from your spirit? Where can I run from you? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there." Those two verses ought to be good news to anybody that hears them. But I know people personally who see this as terrifying news. It frightens them to death that there's nowhere that they can go that they're not going to have to face God. And one of the reasons that they do that is because some people have never heard anything except what Neil Babcock calls oatmeal theology. What's oatmeal theology? True story. Back about 30 years ago, Neil and his wife decided to take a trip for their anniversary, so they got Neil's mother to come and stay with their 9-year-old son while they were gone. One morning, Johnny's grandmother got up. She made oatmeal for breakfast. Johnny didn't like oatmeal. He didn't want to eat oatmeal. Johnny's grandmother got annoyed with him. She was old school. She said, "Johnny, there are lots of hungry children in this world who would love to have oatmeal for breakfast, and if you don't eat, God's going to punish you." Johnny got mad. Johnny said, "I'll go up to my bedroom and I'll eat it." So he went up to his bedroom. Instead of eating it, he shoved the oatmeal under his bed and went on about his business. About 20 minutes later, a huge thunderstorm came up. There was lightning flashing, the wind started blowing, the rain was pouring down. Suddenly, lightning actually hit a tree in their yard, and it sounded like a giant explosion, and the power went off, and Johnny's grandmother ran upstairs. She said, "Johnny, where are you?" He said, "I'm under my bed." She went and she looked under the bed, and he was under the bed, crying and shaking and eating oatmeal as fast as he could. Johnny's grandmother said, "Johnny, are you all right?" And he said, "Yeah, but this is a hell of a fuss to make over a bowl of oatmeal." I don't care who you are or where you're from. Everybody's had some oatmeal theology in your life if you've grown up in church. From the time that I was 9 years old until I was 13, oatmeal theology is about all I heard. So at 13 years old, I left the church. I had no intentions of going back because there wasn't one thing about church that was joyful to me, and I didn't want anything to do with it until I finally met a pastor who showed me the difference in oatmeal theology and the love and the joy of God. If all you've ever heard in your life is oatmeal theology, it's going to be hard for you to see the gospel of Jesus Christ as good news. But that's why this table that we have in front of us is so important. In the early years of the Christian faith, when the church celebrated the Lord's Supper, they always preceded the Lord's Supper with the love feast or the agape feast. It was basically a fellowship meal or a covered dish supper. It was what we had last week at church during our Freedom Fest. We had hot dogs and hamburgers and all of the foods that go with that. And then we had music and we had fellowship and everybody had a good time. That was the love feast. Everybody brought their food. The poor brought what they could bring. The people that had more brought more to the party. Sometimes they would have music. Sometimes they would even dance around the table. It was a joyful celebration that pointed to the fact that the Christian faith was supposed to be good news. And the love feast always ended with the Lord's Supper. Why? Because the Lord's Supper was always an evangelism service. It was one of the ways that the early church told the story of Jesus. On the night before Jesus suffered and died, he held a Passover meal with his disciples. And while they were eating that meal, Jesus took bread and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body which is broken for you. Whenever you eat this, do this in remembrance of me." They had no idea what Jesus was talking about, but they were going to. To live in remembrance was not just to remember what happened, but it was to try to embody the values of those who had gone before you, to live them out so that others would see it and would know that story. When they finished that meal that night, he took a cup and he blessed it. And he said, "This is the blood of the new covenant that is given to you for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you drink this, do this in remembrance of me." Everything about this meal is a sign of joy. The broken bread and the wine reminds us that humankind was as bad as it could get, and yet instead of going to war against it or instead of trying to destroy the people, Jesus allowed those people to nail him to a cross. And then he looked down off that cross and he saw the people that drove the nails and the people that screamed for him to die. And he said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." This table is a meal of joy because it reminds us that God went as far as he could go to show us the boundless, the unlimited, the unconditional love that he has for his children. When we're at our worst, he's still at his best for us. He won't stop loving us. He won't give up on us. He doesn't ever give us what we truly deserve. He gives us what we don't deserve, which is his grace that never ends. And he never, ever loses confidence in those that he loves and believes in. Jesus gave the disciples this meal on the night before they failed him, on the night before they ran away to hide, on the night before they messed everything up. It was the night before the biggest failure they were ever going to have in their lives. And yet, Jesus gave them this meal anyway because he knew the resurrection was going to empower those people to tell his story of love and grace to the world. And when they told that story, it was going to change the world. Jesus never stopped believing in those people. He knew, yes, they would fail, just like everyone else is going to fail. But our God believes in us. He has confidence in us. It brings him joy when he thinks about most of his people. And even those times when he's disappointed in us, he still knows what we can become if we will turn to him. God is on our side. And he wants us to come to the party, be part of his celebration, and to know that in him there will always be life. In him we can always find the joy that he wanted to bring us. Today is the gift of joy. Let's celebrate together. Let's pray. Holy God, we come to this place to remember you, to celebrate with you, to know you well, to experience your presence, to experience your love, to experience the wonder of who you are and what you are for our lives. We pray, O God, that you will come to us here once again as we celebrate this meal. Let the Spirit of your grace be upon us, and let it bring us the joy of life, that we might be able to go into the world and live out that joy as fully as we can. Lord, there are things that can come and can make us unhappy, but joy is knowing that wherever we go, whatever we are doing, you will always be there for us and with us. You will be waiting for us. You will be calling to us to turn away from going the wrong direction, and you will be calling to us to go with you in the right direction. And when we are going with you, you will celebrate it, and you will love being there with us, and you will love every accomplishment that we are able to do in your name. Lord, bring us the party of God today. as we come here to celebrate the joy of this meal. And help us to remember, Lord, that just as we are called to believe in you, you already believe in us. In your name we pray. Amen. On the night that he was handed over for suffering and death, Jesus took bread and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. And whenever you eat this, do this in remembrance of me." Let's eat together. After they had eaten their meal, Jesus took a cup, and he blessed that cup, and he said, "This is the blood of the new covenant, which is given for you for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink this, do this in remembrance of me." Let's drink together. The scripture says, after they had finished their meal, they sang a hymn together. It's our tradition to sing the Lord's Prayer. Let's stand and sing. Holy God, I thank you for your blessings today. I thank you for loving us, even on those days and times when it would seem we would be unlovable. I thank you for believing in us, even when we are struggling to believe in you. I thank you for wanting to bring us the gift of your presence and to turn that presence into joy in our lives. Oh God, I pray that if there's anyone here today that has never experienced that joy, or if they're feeling a void in their lives, I ask you, oh God, to give them the strength to be able to say, "God, come into my life and fill that void. Be part of me. I want to walk with you. I want to be with you. I want to be yours. Come and help me to be the person you would have me be so that I can grow into the joy that you have always dreamed for my life." Help us, oh Lord, to want to be who you would have us be, and to know that your kingdom is supposed to be the party of heaven. And we are invited to the party, and we are to invite people to come with us. Make it so, Lord Jesus. Make it so now and forevermore. And now may the Lord bless and keep you and make his face to shine upon you and give you peace this day and every day, now and forevermore. Amen. God bless you.